banker just told me he hadn't had a bite in 3 days, so I bit him.
Can you top that, Harry Hershfield?
I'll try.
You, Senator Ford?
I didn't even hear him. I
don't And how about you, Joe Lurie?
I wasn't listening.
These various gents with hilarious sense bring you another session of Can You Top This? And now for the man who believes in signs, particularly dollar signs, Ward Wilson.
Thank you, Charlie Stark. Can You Top This is unrehearsed and spontaneous, and our top rule is keep them laughing. Anyone can send in a joke, and if your joke is told by the well-known actor and storyteller Peter Donald, you get $10.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer. When Peter reads jokes sent in by the home audiences, the laughter of the studio audience is registered on the laugh meter. Then our distinguished panelists try to top that joke, and the fun really begins.
Each time they fail to top you, you get $5 more.
Can You Top This is made possible by our fine sponsor. Won't you please listen to this?
Three funny fellas set up tonight. You all ready?
Ready.
Ready.
All right, here we go with the first joke, which is sent in by Anton Gregowitz of Hope Lawn, New Jersey. And this is on the subject of something which we fortunately all have, jobs. Jobs this time. So, Pete, I know you won't make any work out of this.
Well, this happened at a dairy farm. Of course, you know, they have those wonderful new scientific dairies now where they milk the cows by radar and all this kind of stuff. You know, the farmer says, control tower to bossy. Your number four engine is out of commission. Buttermilk coming in at 2 o'clock, you know. But this was not that kind of a dairy. This was one of those old, run-down, old-fashioned kind of dairies that... Oh, the cows were tired, and they gave milky fins that were awful. Broken-down place. So this particular day, along came this fellow Beauregard Brown to get a job. So he walked up to the boss. He says, please excuse me, but I'm looking for some steady employment. It says, you need a man to take care of the animals here? So the boss said, yeah, we do need a fellow. You any good with cows?
It says, this is not good. It says, man, it says, I milk the cow so fast the cream comes out Charlotte Russie.
Says, well, all right. He says, but you sure you want a steady job now? This may be hard work.
He says, yeah, I want a steady job. Leave me to them cows. I want to go right to work. So he got the job, but he found out there's 40 cows. He had to milk all the 40 cows, clean out the stalls, feed the cows, drive them to the pasture, wait for them, drive them back. And he's working about 18 hours a day. So he got a little too tough, and he went to the boss. He says, boss, it says, you've won yourself a vacancy. I'm resigning. So the boss said, I thought you'd quit. I thought you'd quit. I knew you really didn't want a steady job. He said, well, that's just the trouble. I did want a steady job, but you've been laying me off 6 hours a night.
And that was only 350 on the Laugh Meter Award.
About as high as I could get with my point of vantage here. Gives our three wits plenty of room to operate, and let's see what happens. Two hands up. Let's see what little Joe has on.
Of course, this hasn't got... The steadiest job today is the guy that opens the door for Gremko, the Russian delegate at the UNO.
Better get that fella's name straightened.
Well, it starts with a G. Gremiko. All right, I'll get him on his way out again. Now, the one I want to tell is a fella meets Montgomery. He says, Montgomery, he says, I hear you're working. He says, yes. He says, what kind of a job you got? He says, you know, Zimmerman, the restaurant man, he opened up a beautiful place, a new place on the east side here. A beautiful restaurant. And he says, he's got a lot of his old customers there, and give me a job. He says, what do you do? He says, I'm a tutter maker. The what? He says, I'm a tutter maker. He says, what? A tutter maker in a restaurant? What is that? He says, when I see a man eating with his knife, I go over and say, tut, 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 tut.
That is a curtain raiser, Joe. It certainly raised the curtain plenty. That was 1,000, which tops Mr. Gregowitz's 350. However, he still has his $10, and the next hand I see belongs to Harry Hershfield.
A girl gets a job, her first job of any kind, and she gets a job as in the telephone company at the switchboard. So they naturally tell her what the rules and regulations, how to treat people who telephone, what the rules and regulations are. So she got in trouble right away with the first guy that called up. Yeah, the phone clicked, he lost the nickel, and again, and he finally got the operator, kept hollering, operator, finally got the operator. He says, this is the operator. He says, what's going on here, operator? What am I treated like here? Am I a dope, a moron, a jerk? He says, sorry, but we're not allowed to give out that information.
I'll give out the information, Harry. That was 1,000. So far, you guys have been hitting in rare form.
Well, talking about telephones, I know a guy called up a number and then dropped in 10 cents, and the girl said, "You're only supposed to put in a nickel." He said, "The other is a nickel tip for you." Well, anyway, Dobie Dildock made himself a new job. It hasn't worked yet, but he's going to try it. He's going to paint rabbits on bald heads so they'll have hairs.
$1,000 on the laugh meter, which means another perfect round. Our astute panel will be right back after these few commercial words.
The business of jokes again. This one sent in by Mrs. Pearl Pullet of New York City. And this is on the subject I'm sure we all hope that none of our listeners ever have, trouble. Trouble. So, Pete, I hope you make trouble for our three wits with this one. Go ahead.
Well, it seems that out in Minnesota, there was a terrific spring thaw this particular year. The snow melted up on the mountains, and it came cascading down, and there was a big flood, and they flooded this one particular town. Oh, it was awful. The streets were really deep in water, and on the main street, there was an automobile moving gently downstream, and the water was just up to the top of the windows and perched on top. Was a Swedish fella, see? So he's up there and he says, "Oh, hold him, Moses, help me here, help me." He says, "This is awful. Somebody got to help me by Yemeni." So there was one of the rescue workers there. He says, "Don't worry, buddy." He says, "As long as your car's floating in the right direction, you're all right." He says, "Don't worry about it." He says, "Boy," he says, "with you up on the top of that car and the water up above the windows," he says, "looks like Venice, Italy." The guy says, "Well, never mind. Venice, Italy. Venice, somebody going to get me out of here." Rescue worker says, "Listen, we'll be over there in a jiffy. Don't worry." He says, don't get scared." Guy says, "Well, all right. But you better hurry up. I'm getting a little worried about my wife. She's driving the car."
600, 800, 1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward.
Which automatically gives Mrs. Pullet $25, puts you boys just out for laughs this time, and Harry, you couldn't wait, huh?
Yeah, well, I got a couple in mind. But one I want to throw in is what Joe Laurie calls a curtain raiser. Talking, and here's something about trouble. Teacher says to the kid in school, "Do you know what mess means? Do you know what messy means?" He said, "Yeah. Trying to put 6 pounds of mayonnaise in a 5-pound paper bag." You women would know that. But here's a goofy gag. A fella, a restaurant owner's brought to court for beating up a customer. So the judge wanted to know what caused the trouble. He says, "Well, I'll tell you, Judge. He irritated me something awful. He comes in, sits down, and right away he don't like the waiter. He says, 'I don't want a short waiter, I want a tall waiter. Just right is what I want.' Then he says, 'I don't want the soup I want. I don't want it to be too hot, too cold. Just right. Steak, it should be so thick, so thin, so rare, so well done. It should be just right.' Then he says he don't like the window open. It's not to be so much open and not so much closed. Just right. I didn't kick him in the head. I didn't kick him in the feet. Just right."
Up and away. 1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward.
1,000 right up the top, which ties Mrs. Pullet's 1,000, but doesn't do you any good financially. She has her 25 ensconced, and Senator, I think you were waving next.
Well, that gag that Harry just told kind of reminds me of a similar one. This doesn't count, incidentally. Probably won't anyhow. A fellow went into a restaurant and he said to the waiter, "I want a dozen oysters. Do you want them too fat? Do you want them too lean? Do you want them too cold? Do you want them too warm? Do you want them too small? Do you want them too big?" Waiter says, "Yes, sir. With or without poils." Well, anyway, the Dopey Dildock story that I told did so well in the first round there. Maybe I could tell another thing that happened to him. He was in the Navy for a part-time during the war. And he got himself into a jam, and the commanding officer said, 10 days on bread and water. How do you like it?" Dopey said, "Toasted."
That sure looks like another solid 1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward.
So far, a perfect round all the way. How about you, Joe?
Let me spoil it for you. Now, there's an Englishman walking across the street with a paper bag full of sugar. And just as he gets to the cop crossing the street, he bumps into the cop, and the paper bag of sugar falls on the sidewalk. And the cop says, "What is that?" He says, "That's sugar." He says, "Sugar? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Don't you know that's ration? People are worried about getting a little bit of sugar, and there you are spilling it all over the sidewalk. You got all of this sugar?" He says, "But I need it for my tea, officer." He says, "For your tea, is it, huh?" So he takes his club out, hits him over the head, and says, "Here's a couple of lumps for your cocoa."
day, no, there's a twist on this. The next day, he's telling this to a friend of his. This Englishman is in the hospital. He's telling it to a friend of his. He's telling about him hitting him. He says, "Here's a couple of lumps for your cocoa." He says, "You know, the joke," he says, "is on the bobby." He says, "I don't drink cocoa." He says, "And if I did, I certainly wouldn't use lump sugar."
I knew he was going to be sorry.
Sort of running
the
downhill.
The other one is really the gang, you know.
The first one.
You're telling us.
Well, it doesn't make any difference as far as Mrs. Pullet's concerned.
That is what you call ruining a gag with improvements.
Died from improvement.
Put the improvements on the
I'd
agenda.
I like to try a new twist.
The original joke did get 1,000 on, then in stages you went to 600, 200, and meh from there.
It's a good thing I stopped when I did, you know.
Here's one sent in by Mrs. M.A. Hughes of Yonkers, New York, and this is on the subject of signs. Signs.
Science?
Signs. S-I-G-N-S. Signs. So, Peter, I don't know what the signs are, but let's find out.
Well, it seemed that the town fathers of a certain little village upstate erected a statue in the middle of the crossroads, and they had a nice plot of grass all around it. It was very, very pretty. And to protect it, they put up a sign that says, "Do not cross these grounds. No trespassing here." Signed by the city council. So it did no good. Nobody paid any attention to the sign. People are tramping across this plot of ground all the time, and the grass starts to look like thrift shop caracal at the end of a week, you know. So they decided only one thing to do, and they put Rooney, the cop, right by the statue. So the first day he's standing there, and he sees a young fella starting to cross the lawn. So he says, wait a minute, just a minute now. Keep out of the jungle, Mr. Sabu. Get back there now. He says, hold your horses. Don't you read the sign up there? Don't you see what that sign says? Now, no one is going to cross these grounds and ruin the grass while Rooney the cop is standing here. Now, you just go back, and if you want to get across, you'll go around me. You've got to walk around me. So the fella did it. He walked around Rooney, and a couple of days later, Rooney was having his lunch in a little restaurant down the street, and he sees the same fella starting to cross the grass again. So he ran out and he grabbed him. He says, "Didn't I tell you you were not to cross the little park? Didn't I tell you you'd have to walk around me to get to the other side?" The fella says, "Yeah, you did, officer, but you weren't here, and I thought maybe I could take a little shortcut." He says, "Oh, is that so? You're going to take a shortcut, eh?" Well, he says, "No, you listen to me, young man. I want you to remember that any time you want to get to the other side, you've got to walk around me whether I'm here or not."
Oh.
Looking for the rest of the joke on the other side of the paper, apparently.
And if I did, I wouldn't eat lump sugar.
Well, you got a couple for your cocoa that time, Peter, believe me. That laugh was a meager 50. I don't blame you for throwing
Isn't
it away.
An English story, something like
so,
that.
So, Mrs. Hughes will probably love you for the rest of her life. Gives you fellas a pretty wide open market on this one, on signs.
Harry said, asked me if there was an English story like that. I said, "Yes, there is, Harry. Go ahead and tell it."
Isn't it something about the guy saying to the soldiers,
right,
"I want nothing but silence and very little of that"? Isn't that the story?
That's in a class with that.
Same thing without a cop.
Yeah, that's it.
That got less than Pete's did, Harry. Well, let's see how many hands we have on signs. Joe, I think your hand was
raised. Yeah, this is a shortcut.
Shortcut?
I just saw a sign on an undertaker shop. "You kick the bucket, we do the rest." The one I want to tell is about a hillbilly. Hillbilly goes to the city and he comes back and tells his friends about going to the city. He says, "Did you have a good time?" He says, "Yes, it did. Yes, it did." He got to the city. He says, I picked up a couple of swell gals. Oh, swell gals. He said, "They wanted some ice cream soda. So they took me to a store," he says, "and in the window there's a sign, ice cream, $1.50 a gal." "Didn't go in." He says, "Why didn't you go in?" He says, "Well, I had two gals and only 50 cents in my pocket." "Two for your cocoa."
Well, Joe, you seem to be in a 300 run on this rap.
That thing is, that's taken from another gag. Or did the other gag come from yours, Joe? I don't know which. But that's the one about the gasoline sign, you know. 5 gals, $1. Ethel much higher.
Is that yours?
Was much higher, too. 800, as a matter of fact, Senator. I don't know whether you want to enter that in the contest
or
not.
No, I just... commenting on
Joe. I wish I'd have thought of that one instead of the one I did.
Would have been an improvement, Joe. But let's see what Harry Hirschfield has up his sleeve.
Well, I'm going to keep the signs in the generalization. You know, the different forms of signs don't have to be just in printing, you know.
Don't tell me. Let me guess.
But there was a wife. There was a wife. Oh, she was a Tartar. She fought, and she was vicious. She was mean, and every place she would yell and fight and kill people around and knock people around. And finally, the husband was happy when she died. He was really happy. So a lot of people went to the funeral. They couldn't figure out what good he could the minister say about her. Because they were all worried all during her life about the next world, where she'd land in the next world. So the funeral was held anyhow. And the minister kept the stuff pretty general, talked about her dying and everything. When the funeral was over, it suddenly got very, very dark. It got very dark and very dark. And all of a sudden, there was a flash of lightning in the sky and a thunder crash, and the guy yelled, "Well, she made it!"
That sure looks like another solid 1,000 on the left.
Well, you might have told me that some of the mourners at the funeral were signed or something. I mean,
no, well, anything. That was a sign where she was.
That was a
I
sign.
I knew the minute Harry started to explain it, he wasn't going to be close to the subject at all.
Hey, I've got one on cyanus. Is that any good?
No, I think I'm going to push another $5 in the direction of Mrs. Hughes before we get through. But Harry got the desired result. Let's see what you're going to do, Senator.
Well, this is the third chapter in the life of Dopey Dildock. He did very well on the other two. He walked into a theater smoking a cigar, and an usher said, "Don't you see that sign, no smoking allowed?" He said, "I ain't smoking out loud."
Did he live after that?
Well, I could tell you a gag about Screwball Jake is supposed to be a dope, but he's not the dope that most people think he is. He had a little store up in my hometown, and in the window he had a sign, "Fishing Tickle." So I looked at it, and I went in, and I says, "What's with that fishing tickle? Isn't that a typographical error? Should be fishing tackle." He said, "Yeah, I know." I said, "Didn't anybody come in and tell you about it?" He said, "Sure, dozens of people. But when they come in to tell me about the mistake, they always buy something." That's just a little thing I threw in for editorial value.
$500 on each one.
Another round of jokes will be coming up right after these important words from our fine sponsor.
Back to business of jokes once again. This one sent in by Ethel Rabinowitz of Hempstead, New York. And this is on the subject of something we're very familiar with right now, crowds. So, Peter, see how much you can crowd into this one, and we'll let her go.
Well, this happened on a crowded bus. Oh, it's so jammed. You could walk from one end of the bus to the other, and your feet never touch the floor, you know. People jammed in, the two people hanging on every strap. There's a little boy with buck teeth. He had three people right on his braces. Everybody, oh. So, they're going crazy, and the driver is having the worst time. They're pushing him, and finally, he says, "Passengers. He says, passengers, ahoy."
He says, "Couldn't you synchronize your breathing a little bit?" He says, "I don't want to bother you, but," he says, "would the lady in the red hat ask the gentleman who's been eating garlic to tap the fellow with the brown coat and ask him not to push the little girl in the gym bloomers because the fellow with the bird cage is nudging me in the rumble seat?" Well, it got worse and worse, and finally, the bus stopped at a red light, and two painters got on the bus. And they had six cans of paint, a bag of brushes, a roll of wallpaper, and a gallon jug of turpentine. So the driver said, says, 8 million people in New York City, I got to pick up Michelangelo and Rembrandt." Painters and all this stuff, they pushed away all the way to the back of the bus, get all the way back. They sit there for about four blocks, and all of a sudden the bell starts going, bing, 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 bing. The driver says, "What's all the bing, bing?" "Somebody selling good humors? What's the matter?" The painters want to get off now. So they come back with all the stuff, and they push their way to the front, and just as they're getting off, the driver stops him. He says, "Wait a minute, boys." He says, "I got for you a little suggestion." One of the painters says, "Oh, yeah, what is it?" He says, "Please, the next time you ride on my bus, don't forget to bring your stepladders also."
Well, you certainly did justice to that one, Peter. $1,000 on the laugh meter.
Which automatically says Mr. Rabinowitz $25. Put you boys out just for the laugh. You're going to have a hard time topping that one.
Let's see. Well, I'll go in. I don't think I can come near it, but I'll
move
try.
Right in.
Pete's story kind of reminded me one. Little Winston Churchill Goldfarb was in a crowd, and he's crying, and he couldn't find his mama, so people got giving him pennies. Then he started crying louder. So they gave him nickels. So he cried still louder. They gave him dimes, and finally I said, I know where your mama is. He said, who's asking you?
Oh, the senator with that dialect.
900 is the final score in the Laugh Meter Award.
However, it doesn't top it.
Don't be dilled up with a twist.
How about you, Harry?
Well, I got a little shorty that fits very much like the other story I told. There were two rivals, nouveau riche, Mrs. Van Blivitz Van Nudnik and Mrs. Creighton Van Kvetch. They hated each other. They were rivals socially and wealth and everything else. Finally, Mrs. Van Nudnik died, and Mrs. Van Kvetch went to the funeral, of all surprises. So the next day, they said to Mrs. Van Kvetch, I hear you went to the funeral. She says, yes, I was there. Says, was it a big crowd? She says, yes, there was a big crowd, but very little enthusiasm.
Very little lad, too.
The audience had very little.
Just halfway up on the Laugh Meet Award. 500.
All right, Joe, how about you filling out
the... Montgomery comes home, and his wife says, you look all tuckered out. He says, I am tuckered out. I was in the subway. Oh, was it packed? Was it jammed? Was it packed? What crowds? He says, I'll tell you, he says, it was so packed. He says, I saw a woman with a fur coat. She leaned over to tie her shoelaces, and that's all I saw of her. He says, that's all you saw of her? What become of her? He says, I don't know. But there's only one train in the whole subway that's got a rug now.
Well, that did it for you, Joe. That's 1,000. Now, we won't have time for another full round. In fact, we don't have any time at all. So I'd just like to ask the audience to join us again next week. Same time, same gang. Other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Senator Ford.
Harry Hirschfield.
Joe Laurie Two Lumps, Jr.
Peter Donald. Ward Wilson.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer, saying so long. And take care of yourself until we meet again next time.